Hi everyone, welcome to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorced Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. If I looked back on when I was getting divorced and tried to figure out things I wish I wouldn't have done, things I wish I wouldn't have said, things I wish I would have done differently, I could just go on and I'd drive myself crazy. And that is not productive, looking back and saying, I should have done this, I wish I would have done this. What is productive is listening to this podcast, because I am going to share with you, along with my guest, 12 things I wish I knew when I was getting divorced, and that will help you not make those mistakes. So with me today, I have a great guest. Her name is Joanne Littman. I call her Jo. Hi, Jo.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here because you're totally going to be able to relate to this and get it and chime in with some great advice for newly divorced, newly separated people. So let me explain a little bit about Joanne. First of all, we met about, what, 5-6 years ago, Jo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Through like some networking, women. And since then, I've really gotten to know her. And I have to tell you, Jo, you're such a great person. Jo is a single mom. Well, she has 3 kids, but I think they're all adults, right, Jo?
Yeah, I mean, by official standards, sure. Yeah. 21, 24, and 26.
But when she got divorced 15 years ago, they were not. So
she
completely understands what you're going through. Joanne is a financial advisor for Eagle Strategies. So she has been doing this for about 7.5 years. And she specializes in helping women going through a divorce and after divorce. And let me tell you something, women love working with Joanne. And the reason it's true. And the reason is because you're relatable, you're smart, you're experienced, and you humanize the whole experience. Like, you understand people's fear about money and investing and insurance and all that stuff. Like, you really get it. And I think that makes the whole experience for your clients like just so much better with such less anxiety.
Well, thank you. Yes, those are all my goals. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
And Joe handles portfolios, by the way, of any size. Mm-hmm. So if you want to reach her, you can find her on Divorced Girl Smiling under the Trusted Partners page under Financial Advisors. Okay. I want to move on to the 12 things I wish I knew when I was getting divorced. And what I'm going to do, Jo, is just list them off of this article I wrote, and then you can kind of chime in and comment and tell me what you think, having gone through this yourself.
Absolutely.
Number one, the day your soon-to-be ex moves out, you will feel surprisingly very relieved.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think they probably do, too, to be perfectly fair. You know, it's such a time when, look, you're getting divorced for a reason. It's really hard to be in the same space while that's going on. So I think some people feel a little bit guilty about that relief, though, right? You know, you think like, oh, gosh, like all that time in marriage and what did it mean if it feels so much better in this moment? But it's the circumstances, you know, that day has to come and there's a lot of relief that comes with it. You can just start to move forward.
I think people who are listening to this, a lot of them, their ex didn't move out yet, and they probably have all this anxiety.
Yeah, and they can't that happened to me.
Sure. Yeah. And then once he moves out or she moves out, you're incredibly relieved. And like Jo said, you might feel a little guilty, but don't. But
no,
also
don't.
There's people listening maybe whose ex moved out and they didn't feel relieved. They felt like panicked and upset. Mm-hmm. And I think that's normal too. Jo and I are just talking about our experiences. Everybody feels differently the day their ex moves out. It's a mixed bag of emotions, but I do think relief is one of them.
I think so too. For however long, for most people have some time, right, that they know they're getting divorced. And it's just difficult when you're in the same space like you have been and you know that's changing. And so that time is really necessary for it to be different. And that's okay.
Number two, when getting divorced, you might get attorney statements that will make you physically nauseous.
Yes. I mean the attorneys are so valuable. I really think that understanding where the law stands and having somebody to manage communication and conflict, whether it's attorneys or mediators or however that goes, is so important. But it's expensive, you know, and it feels unfair to a lot of people, depending on the circumstances of the divorce. So understanding that that's going to happen is just going to help the situation. It's a fact of the process, and it is what it
It is what it is. And I
is.
want to say that this is nothing against any divorce attorney. It's just the way it is. Now, what's different about when I got divorced in 2008 and now is that the divorce process has shifted so much to mediation and the collaborative process that people are getting divorced quicker. People are getting divorced more amicably. Many, many, many attorneys have shifted their whole practice to mediation. So I think that it's a little different now because litigation is less common. But if you are in a litigated divorce and you get these attorney statements, just think to yourself, it's part of the process.
For sure.
Number three, you will not be alone forever.
I think besides being concerned about my children, this was my next biggest fear. I started dating my ex-husband when I was 16 years old. I mean, so I was really like, whoa, like I never dated. I never knew any of this stuff.
Wow.
Right. So, of course, I was fearful about this next stage in my life that I was completely naive to. And I think, look, I think there's somebody for everybody. I think what we who have been divorced learn is maybe at different stages of your life, there's different people in your life for everybody, right? You can meet somebody that you love more than you thought you ever could. Somebody that makes you happier than you ever thought you could. Somebody that you can have more fun with than you ever thought you could. And maybe all of those things all wrapped up into one person. And you may have stages, right? Where it's somebody that you want that's very social. And maybe later it's somebody that you want that's not very social. I don't know, but I just think that if you want to be with somebody, you can be with somebody. And you don't have to. Some people are very fine without that. But I think if you want to be, you will not be alone forever.
I think what's interesting is that you're right, Joe. We're assuming that everybody is thinking, I don't want to be alone. Maybe some people want to be alone because they were unhappy for so long and now they just feel at peace that they're alone. But I
Or
think
for a
that in,
period of time, right? Or at least for
yeah,
a period of time. Maybe like right
exactly.
now is not the time, right? For them to think about like who's my life partner now. That just might not be the time to process that, and that's okay.
There's a lot of people listening in their 40s and 50s. And 60s. And I think that's when the people kind of panic and they go, who's going to want me? I'm so old. I look so much different than I did when I was dating before I was married. How am I ever going to meet someone? And that's the stress of being alone forever. And what I want to tell my listeners is that I promise you, if you want to meet somebody and you make good decisions in other aspects in your life and you have self-love, you will meet someone because I can't even count the number of women I have met who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who said that to me. I'm so scared I'm going to be alone forever. And guess what? Almost none of them are. I would
I
say
agree with
none.
you.
I mean,
Yeah.
everybody, because human nature is that we want to meet people, and guys want to meet people too. You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, financial advisor Joanne Littman, and single mom. And we are talking about 12 things I wish I could have known when I was going through my divorce. Before we move on to number four of the 12 things, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. If you are thinking about getting divorced or you're going through one, there's something that you might not know about because you're not there yet.
But after your divorce is final, you are going to need a new will and trust. Now, I know you're thinking, I've spent all this money on my divorce attorney. I don't want to spend money on that. But trust me when I tell you, it is very, very important to get your will and trust done after you get divorced. And if you are in the state of Illinois and you are looking for someone, I would highly recommend wills and estate planning attorney Stephanie Sexauer. Her company is Sexauer Law, and I have known Stephanie for probably 2 or 3 years. I've referred a few different people to Stephanie, and they have all been really, really super happy with her services. And what I want to say is that the best part about getting your will and trust is that it's a flat fee, so there's no hourly costs involved, and you can call Stephanie and ask her as many questions as you want and not have to worry about the clock ticking because it's a flat fee. So again, Stephanie Sexauer, you can find her at sexauerlaw.com or on Divorced Girl Smiling under Trusted Partners. I also want to mention the law firm of Katz and Stefani. I have known Dan Stefani for 20 years, and wow, what a wonderful person he is. But he's also a great lawyer. He has been a divorce attorney for probably 27 years. And he is very, very experienced in litigating complex, high asset cases. So the law firm of Katz and Stefani is located in Chicago and Bannockburn. That's where they have offices. And they also have 10 other attorneys besides Dan who all have different niches, many of them in mediation. So it's just a really top-notch, wonderful firm. Katz and Stefani can be found at katzstefani.com or on Divorced Girl Smiling under Trusted Partners.
Welcome back to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, financial advisor and single mom, Joanne Littman. We're talking 12 things we wish we would have known when we were getting divorced. Moving on to number 4, your kids are probably going to cry a lot, feel sad, do strange things, or misbehave. Did you find that, Jo?
I definitely think some of those things for sure. There was just a lot of confusion. I was told they would ask a lot about why we were getting divorced, and that did happen. It was a constant question. Why are you getting divorced?
So they wanted to talk about it. That's actually very healthy.
It was healthy. We did a lot of talking in my house. And I love the advice that you've given in your article where you say, like, just talk to them, you know, keep the lines of communication open. They were very communicative, and I learned to listen a lot, and I learned to say things like, I think I would feel the same way if that was happening to me, or I understand why you feel that way. At the beginning, I tried to buffer everything. You know, my defenses, my mama bear defenses went up, and I'd explain why something happened or why it's not so bad, or, you know, maybe if our schedule had to change or a parent couldn't show up to something, I'd make up a reason why and why it should be okay with them. And then later that didn't last very long. And I learned that I just needed to let them have their feelings and trust their feelings. I was more concerned that if I explained everything away, that over time they wouldn't trust that sort of intuition of their own, that I was always telling them to do it differently. I didn't want it to be that. So I just learned to listen. And in some cases, if it was conflict with their dad or something that was going on there, because, you know, we hear that as parents, I more would spend time helping them learn how they may be able to talk to him versus be a part of the solution overall.
You hit on something. Therapy is great for kids, and it's very important if needed, but don't shove it down their throats.
Absolutely.
And also, the reason I put this on the list is because I don't want people going through a divorce right now to be thinking their kids aren't going to be okay because they're misbehaving or crying a lot or being sad or doing strange things. I want you to know mine did all of that. And I have great kids who are really well adjusted. They're now 19 and 21, and they were 3 and 5 during the divorce. So I just want people to feel better and know what to expect and don't freak out, because your kids will be okay. But if they need help, they do need to go to therapy.
Great advice.
Number 5, your relationship with your ex will be like it was in your marriage. So we went to our first mediator, and that's who told me that. And the guy said, if you fought a lot in your marriage, you're going to fight a lot in the divorce and after. If you just didn't talk to each other and you're passive aggressive, you'll be that way in your divorce. So nothing really changes. The core of how you interact will not change. If you are listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get divorced and then we're going to be really friendly, that might happen, but expect your ex to act the same way he or she did in the marriage. Would you agree, Joe?
I would agree. I think it's also they act the same way they would in the marriage, maybe at the most challenging times, right? There's something when you're in a marriage, at least I think for most of people's marriages, right? There's an investment in terms of there's a motivation to collaborate and not be mad at each other and, right, and to not fight, and those, at least for a time, right, during the happy years, right? But I think when you go through a divorce, there's less invested in making it work. And so some of the most challenging things about your relationship is what you'll see most often. It's the fighting or the not talking or being stubborn or whatever those pieces are. Those get highlighted more because the communication, the partnership piece is gone, right? So it's the other pieces, and that's the challenge.
Number 6, you're going to meet other divorced women, and they are going to become some of the best friends you've ever made in life.
100%. And I got divorced before COVID. I feel for the people who dealt with this during COVID and the stay-at-home orders, because I don't know what I would have done, to be honest with you. So kudos to the people who made it through that time. And now I'm so happy that there's in-person communication and groups and things going on that people can participate in addition to things online to reach more people. But I found a group of people, and they were social, way more social than I was. But I always had something to go do if I wanted to when I wasn't with my kids. And even when we were living together before he moved out, but we divided our time with our kids, I needed to get away. I wasn't one of those people that enjoyed a movie by myself. If you do, I think that's fantastic. I wasn't. So I found this group and they saved me.
I'm going to tell a story. When I was getting divorced, it was 2008. I live in the suburbs. I felt like nobody was divorced. I was the only one. And one of my friends said to me, hey, there's a girl in our kickboxing class. She stands in the upper left-hand corner. She has long blonde hair. She's getting divorced. So I went up to her after class and was like, excuse me, I heard you're getting divorced. I am too. Would you want to go out and get like a glass of wine or something?
Oh, you're so brave.
I wasn't brave. I was desperate. Because I felt like my married friends just didn't understand what I was going through. And I thought, I need someone. I need some support from somebody who's feeling the feelings I am. So anyway, we ended up spending the whole year together. I cannot even tell you, she saved my life. Mm-hmm. She and I would go out. We met other divorced people together. We became, like you said, Joe, we had a group. And we just built from there. And the nights that I cried in her car, the times we had coffee when I just vented, and she did the same with me, it really was life-saving and really wonderful. So I guess I hope that story motivates my listeners to find divorced people, because they will want to connect with you, I promise. Number 7, your ex's family is either going to stop speaking to you completely or they're going to be really mean to you.
Yeah, this one's so tough. So I'm very close with I still call her my mother-in-law. I'm very close. There was definitely, and my father-in-law has since passed, but there was definitely a time where that relationship was not what it was or is now. It was uncomfortable, you know, for everybody. And I didn't understand it very much. So I did feel like they had sort of stopped talking to me and that it was so unfair. You know, I was like, what did I do? This shouldn't be happening. And I did really, and I think this is true about our friends and our ex's family and a lot of people, they don't know what to do either. They don't want to make it harder for us. They might think including us in something is difficult for us. They might not know what to say either, right? And then if there's a conflict, I mean, most divorces are because of a conflict. If it's a conflict that might not be very well understood or not a lot of public knowledge about the details of your divorce, I always said, well, they know whatever he told them. They don't know what I would have said, right? So I couldn't hold it against them if they at times seemed to shut me out because I don't know what they said that he said to them.
Boy, Joe, you are lucky that you said, oh, they sort of stopped talking to you. My ex, his entire family did not speak to me, and I'm not exaggerating, for like 9 years.
Wow.
It was so like sad. I was a stranger. We would see each other at the kids' games. They wouldn't even look at me. They wouldn't say hi. They were afraid that my ex-husband would be upset. They came to my kids' bar mitzvahs. They did not say hello to me. They said hi to my family. I cried in the bathroom. I mean, it was awful for me.
Oh, that's so awful.
And I hate to call them out, but I just want people to learn that don't be like me and cry in the bathroom. You can mourn it and be upset, but try to understand that there's nothing you can do except treat them with grace and kindness and don't badmouth them to your kids.
For
and
sure.
There's nothing you can do. Now, since then, they all of a sudden started talking to me again. I'm like all confused. I don't really know what to do.
So interesting.
But it is kind of nice because they really feel like family. It just feels good that there's no animosity anymore. It only took them 9 years.
Oh my gosh, that's difficult. And that's hard for people. I think my advice is always you keep doing the right things. If that means sending a card on the birthdays, I would call and leave sometimes it was a voicemail on the holidays, you know, like I just do what you think you should be doing and don't let their behavior change your actions. And if there's a chance that they're going to come back around, then they'll come back around.
Absolutely. Number 8, your ex is going to have a serious girlfriend in 2 minutes. Do not be shocked.
Yes. That's all I can say.
You will cry. Okay. Here's what I wrote. You will cry. You will be angry. You'll be resentful. You'll be thinking, why did he move on so quickly? Why does he get to be happy? And I'm just lonely by myself. He must have wanted the divorce all along. And that is very much not true. In my opinion, he's hurting just as much as you are, but men will use dating and relationships as a band-aid to get over the relationship. And I don't want to say all men,
right?
Because women do it too.
For sure.
But, you know, I would say men more than women will get into a relationship right away.
Look, I think that I have seen that as well. I think, and it's hard to process. And I mean, I think that the most healthy way to think about it is that it just doesn't materially change your life. It hurts, right? It stings and you wonder why and how and if, how could I, you know, how could this however long 15-year marriage have meant anything if in a minute, you know, but it's none of those things. And asking these impossible questions about why and how and those sorts of things are unproductive.
Doesn't do any good.
It doesn't do any good.
If your ex gets a girlfriend and you're freaking out and you're thinking this is all wrong, maybe I shouldn't have gotten divorced, then I think you have to say something and give it a try. And if your soon to be ex says, I'm sorry, you did the right thing, I do want a divorce, then at least you know you tried. But I know some women who years later say, I should have tried to save it. So you will know in your gut if you want to try to save your marriage.
And I think if it's not savable and you're dealing with just this, you know, like you feel like I'm alone and he's not, and that's so unfair. I think what helped me is that was actually wise words from my sister. And she just made me realize that whatever was happening with him, it couldn't matter, right? It couldn't have an impact on me. So if he was less happy, would I be then happier? Like, it doesn't work that way. So it's just separate at that point, and it cannot have an impact. And whether he is or isn't happy, and what shows up on social media is not the whole picture of everything. You just can't let it impact you. So if he hadn't been dating somebody, would your life magically be better in that moment? Probably not. I mean, you wouldn't have to deal with seeing it or hearing about it, but it wouldn't really materially change anything.
Joe, great advice. I love it. Next tip, people are going to set you up on blind dates. And when you go on some of them, you will be sitting there dipping your bread in olive oil thinking, how could so-and-so possibly think this was a good match?
Oh, yes. This goes back to what I was saying before. Let people know what you think. Maybe do a little bit more about talking to the person and trying to sort of screen them a little ahead of time. I think it sort of depends on your perspective about dating.
I truly believe that no dates are a waste.
Okay.
And if you're sitting there dipping your bread and you can't wait to go home, I would reevaluate and change your mindset and say, I'm going to just get to know this person, even though there's no way in hell I would ever kiss him. But he might be a good friend. Let's find the good in him. Let's find something positive. Let's find some reason I spent an hour getting ready and went on this date. Because I guarantee if you are open-minded and you sit and talk, you will go home and say, oh, that was kind of fun. I don't really want to see him again, but I don't know. I enjoyed myself. It was meaningful. And I didn't sit home alone on the couch feeling sorry for myself. And I went out and I did something.
Sure. And dating takes a little practice, especially if you've been out of it for a while. So you're just learning how to do it and do it comfortably. And I have to tell you, I have two friends in particular who date and meet people more than the average person. And they are so good at setting somebody up with a friend of theirs if they don't think it's a match for themselves. So, you know, you never know. If it's not right for you, it doesn't mean they're a terrible person. Maybe they're great for somebody else.
Absolutely. All right, we're getting down to the last tip. Getting divorced means you will have a year ahead of you that includes hilarious moments, crazy dates, a lot of sadness, a lot of crying, but a lot of empowerment as well. What do you think?
It's a roller coaster. And what's interesting is you probably feel, I don't want to speak for you. I feel like 15 years later, in the time, it felt like the craziest roller coaster. And now it doesn't feel like it may, you know, when you're going through it, it's a whole lot worse than when you can look back on it, I guess is what I really want to say. So you'll get through it, right? You will get through it, expect it. There's a lot of good too. And I'm a big proponent of moving forward despite some of the difficult stuff. Like you have to have the good moments in there with all the other stuff that you're dealing with and trying to overcome and trying to get past. Because if you wait for all of those things to settle down, one, you've missed out on some good things, but you'll never move forward. So do it all. Have the good stuff. Deal with the difficult stuff. Ride the roller coaster. It will settle down and you'll get to a good place.
And Joe, don't you remember, like I remember when I was getting divorced in those first few months, like every day would be some kind of surprise, whether it was negative or positive. Like I would get an email from my lawyer that said my ex was filing for sole custody at one point because he got mad or whatever. And I freaked out and I was crying and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, that was a shock. And then the next day I got like a Facebook friend request from like an old boyfriend. And I was like, oh, I can actually do something about this now. And that was a surprise too. And I felt like every day was filled with like good things and bad things. And it was all unexpected. It was just kind of this up and down day of surprises, good and bad every day.
Yeah. And I think that understanding that that's coming helps, because the swing of emotions can be difficult and exhausting, right? But being ready for them, accepting them, you know, knowing that it is kind of part of the process, I think that it evens out over time. You know, the low points start to go away, and that whole kind of crazy roller coaster softens a bit, and you end up on a good positive path.
Like us.
Like us.
Joe, thank you so much for spending time to do this with me today. It has been a pleasure.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you so much. And I love this community that you've built and grown. And I think there's so many unbelievable, amazing resources. I think people really just have been changed because of what you've been able to offer. So on behalf of the whole community, we thank you, Jackie.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Joe. In closing, I want to leave my listeners with this advice. Have confidence in yourself, because you can handle all these things that come at you. Some days you'll feel like you can't, but you can. And you might cry for a while, like every day, but then that, as Joe said, gets less and less, and the better days get more and more. And remember that you are still that same strong person that you were, and maybe even better and stronger and more wise and mature than you were before you got married. And just try to find gratitude in every day that you have. And look in the mirror and say, I can do this. I'm strong, and I'm a great mother, and I'm going to find love again. And things are going to look a lot different as the months go by. So with that said, I want to thank everybody for listening. If you want to learn more about my trusted resources on the site, if you want to watch videos, listen to more podcasts, read articles, sign up for the DGS Club, these support groups, come see me at divorcedgirlsmiling.com.